Don't set the expectations too high or anything for me now. Good morning. It is so good to be back with you. Yeah. I want to talk to you about a couple of things today. One thing in particular, but before I get into that, my last Sunday here, I talked to you a little bit about how I see Fairhaven Church and just the potential that I think is bottled here. And I don't think you can hear it enough. And when you tell yourselves, it probably doesn't sound quite the same. So let me just tell you, I think you have tremendous gift to offer. And like, for whatever reason, faith communities seem to struggle with the same kinds of insecurities that each of us as people have, right? Like, many of us at different times struggle with our self-image about something, right? We struggle over the way we may look. We struggle over whether we think we're smart enough or whether we think we're good enough or whether we think we'll be successful or whether we think, like, whatever, right? And there's this incredible negative voice that seems to be able to speak louder than the other voices that we have talking to us all the time, right? And this voice doesn't tell us things that encourage us. This voice tells us things that discourage us and hold us down, which is why when somebody says something positive and supportive, it's like this unbelievable blessing, because even though we know who we are as children of God, we know who we are as beloved, it is a lot of work to really feel that and live that. And I think we carry that over into our communities, into the way that we gather. And we end up being a gathering that we really like, but we don't really think anybody else would really be, looking for this sort of thing. And let me just tell you, as a person from the outside looking in, what Crystalyn had to say in her call to worship this morning of Fairhaven being this center of love, this gathering. One of the struggles that many Mennonite churches have is we're very much built like families, which means when you're there, you're loved, you're embraced, you're close, you have all this stuff going on. You've got certain secrets you don't want anybody to find out because it's like a family, right? So you've got this whole thing going on. But then if somebody else comes from the outside, it is really hard to break into a family. Like, if you've ever dated somebody or whatever, and like you went to dinner for the first time, it's just an incredibly intimidating thing because you're like, I don't know if they're going to accept me or let me in or how this is. It is that way for people coming into a family-based church too, because as close-knit as these relationships are, that web of relationship like keeps people out to a certain extent. It's really hard, and we don't have any idea. Like, we don't think we're being that way, but we kind of are. One of the things that I've noticed about Fairhaven is that there is that kind of love and care and compassion for each other like you have with a family, but you don't have the kinds of barriers. When somebody steps through the door, there is this warm welcome. And when I had the privilege to give Jimmy's eulogy yesterday, one of the things that I shared about Jimmy was warm handshake and a hug the second you walk in the door. I mean, just pouring love out on you. And Jimmy was like extremely extroverted in that way to do that. I mean, that was kind of part of his thing. But Fairhaven Church has this kind of thing too. And you are as aware as I am that the culture that we live in right now is painful. It's just incredibly hard. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you find yourself on. It doesn't matter whether you find yourself as a conservative or as a liberal. It doesn't matter whether you find yourself with one color of skin or another. It really doesn't matter, like, where you find yourself. There is this tension and discord in our culture right now, and it's felt by pretty much everybody. And so we have people all around us who feel alienated and alone, and they're carrying around those same insecurities that you and I carry around. Not knowing, not feeling like I'm good enough, like I'm loved, like my ideas are going to be valued or received, or like anybody cares, or any of the. God has given you, placed you in the midst of a community of caring, love, and respect, and your doors are open. Only thing is, most everybody else that has never stepped foot in here doesn't know that. They don't know that's who you are. They don't know that that's what's here. They don't know. And they won't know unless we encourage each other and remind each other that what is here and what God is building is something that is valuable and needed and something we can share. And not sharing for our own benefit so that we can build up a church. Now, something we can share because God has blessed us to bless. Because God has poured in something good so that we can pour out something good. And so I tell that to you again today simply because I don't think we can hear it enough. I don't think we can be told enough times. Just like somebody needs to tell you you're beautiful, they might need to tell you again tomorrow. And they might need to tell you again the day after that. They might need to tell you in a couple of weeks. They might need to tell you in a couple of months and in a couple of years. They might need to tell you again, right? Fairhaven Church, you are beautiful. You are full of grace and love and compassion. You have so much to offer. Do not be afraid to put yourself out there. Do not be afraid to open up your arms and to invite, to share with those who are around you. And whether or not the invitation you extend is accepted and received and responded to is not your concern. You're not a salesperson. You're somebody who has the privilege of offering gift. Gift, 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 gift. You have a gift in your hands already. Don't forget that you have this beautiful gift from God. The scripture that I want to read to you today is in Galatians, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I don't know how you hear those words. I tend to hear them as encouragement. As this, wow, God's love is amazing and all-embracing. Paul's words to the Galatians, those were words of challenge. Like, when Paul is laying these words out, what he's actually putting before the church in Galatia is this really hard challenge to step away from a way of understanding the world that they had grown up with and that they had held on to, that had formed them and shaped them, that their parents and grandparents had kind of instilled in them. Like, he was challenging them to take all of this cultural understanding that they had been brought up with and shelve it. Maybe even more than shelve it, he was challenging them to discard it, to do away with it entirely. So, when he goes through this, he's talking to them about who they are. And he says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Which in this church, in this community, this is your religious identity. You're kind of part of this group, or you're part of this other group. And we are pretty good about building boundaries and barriers, especially about our understandings of faith, isn't it? Like the fact that Crystalyn shared with us that there was a Muslim man who shared in a Baptist church a memorial for Jimmy Russell. It's kind of like this, mountains are moving! Right? Like, to quote you directly, mountains are moving. This is, we are really, really good at building all kinds of barriers, especially about things like faith. And specifically the way we see faith. I mean, we've got plenty of Christians who can't even stand to be around other Christians because we don't see things the same way, let alone crossing over into other faith groups, which make up a huge percentage of the planet. We are really good at being tribal about our faith. Really, really good at being tribal. And here, the words are, in Christ, these barriers that you've put up don't exist. All of these things that you've assembled aren't there. Don't exist. So he starts with religion, which is always an easy way to start, right? Then he says, there's neither slave nor free. Slave nor free, well, we understand that in our own cultural lens through a particular way. But in the Galatian church, in their culture, this is a political or power identity. For people who were free, had a say, had rights, had votes, which relates to our understanding of it as well. But this is really, it's a political understanding. So slave had to do a lot with your economics. So there were lots and lots of people who were in slavery positions in this culture because of the economics that they had experienced. So they had gotten into debt, they had had things not go right in their lives, and they were in a position, it's like the language of an indentured servant. Like, they had built up so much debt that they had become property of a person until their debt was paid off. And a lot of times, because of how much it cost you just to live, that could go on for a very, very, very long time. And so as you had put yourself into this position, you had just kind of given up your voice, your rights, all of this kind of position to speak. And then there were other people who were trafficked people too. And so you have these two classes. And then you have the free people who have a voice and who have a say and who have all these things, and two completely different groups. The way they mixed and interacted in culture was very, very different. The way they moved through the world, very, very different. And here it said there is no slave or free. Like, you see these two different groups of people. You see these two separate. Some of this is things that have happened to people. Some of it is things that, at least it's perceived, they've kind of put themselves into a circumstance. There's all these things. You see the world this way. In Christ, it's not that way. Like, in Christ, there is no slave and free. Like, these categories that you've tried to put out there, in Christ, they don't exist. And then finally, he goes to male and female. Now, relationships with the opposite gender are tricky, right? Because men and women don't function the same way, don't think the same way, don't behave. Like, there's beauty in all of that too, but we tend to see dramatic differences between male and female. And so much so, especially historically, that there is this huge continued need for greater understanding and greater equality, just because of the way we have treated gender differently. The gap in pay between men and women has continued to be significant, like not equal. The voice, it has not been that long that women have been permitted to vote in our country. It's not that long ago that that was a thing. And if you go back all the way to when this letter was written, more of that. Okay? Women, especially when married, were kind of considered the property of their husbands. And the husband could just kind of do what they wanted. You had all of these different roles, all of these different things about what it was to live and move in the world. And whether you were a man or a woman, whether you were a slave or a free person, whether or not you were a Jew or a Gentile, all of these things painted you into certain corners of who you are, what you were allowed to do, where you belonged, whether or not You were loved by God. And into this culture, Paul writes, now, there is law, and law existed to shepherd you or guard you, but now that faith and grace has come through the person of Christ Jesus, we see things differently. And in Christ, we have discovered that all of these ways of seeing the world around us, it's not that way with Jesus. Like, the categories we want to put people in based on their faith won't work with Jesus. The categories we want to put people in based on their gender doesn't work with Jesus. The categories we want to put people in based on their economic status don't work with Jesus. The categories we want to put people in based on their political views don't work with Jesus. All of these different ways that we want to divide things up, they don't work with Jesus. For all are one in Christ Jesus. Now, this is incredibly hard for the church in Galatia to hear, and we're not much better. Anybody tired of Facebook yet? Like, or whatever social media you happen to be. There's not thoughtful, intelligent dialogue, right? There is relentless outpouring of stream of consciousness, and I want to be affirmed that I'm right. I don't want to hear somebody else's perspective. You can't really engage and have a perspective altering discussion through a web page. It doesn't happen that way. But there is so much on there right now. The protests, we need to pay attention to what's happening. I can't believe we're protesting. We shouldn't even watch the games anymore. The politics that are happening, finally things are moving the way that we wish they would. The politics that are happening in this world, everything's falling apart and going. You have incredibly polarizing viewpoints all over social media, all over the news, all over these things. And when we start taking that in, we start putting ourselves into one category or another, don't we? Well, I agree with this, so I'm over here. And I agree with this, so I'm over here. And I agree with this, so I'm... And so we kind of put all these things in place for who we are and where we belong and who is right. Isn't that an important question, right? Who is right? And of course it's you. Yeah. Yeah. And thank goodness there's a couple of things that we see the same, or otherwise, I don't know if we, you know, but there's a couple of things that we're right together on. And so that we are doing a lot of practicing tribalism and wanting to be right more than we're wanting to have relationship. We're doing this really, really well in our culture right now. What does it mean for Paul to write that in Christ Jesus your Lord, all of these ways that you look at all kinds of other people and just want to say, nope, you're wrong, you're over there. Nope, you're wrong, you're over there. My people are over here. That the Scriptures say, in Jesus, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because all the walls we're invested in building up, Jesus is just coming through and breaking them down. One after another. One after another. Which sounds like, okay, all of this that we're talking about, if you're anything like me, it's a little unsettling that all of the viewpoints that I have are not Jesus' viewpoints. Right? We want to believe that the way I see things is obviously the way Jesus sees them. And yet the Scriptures tell us, I don't think you're really understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus is really like. And I think it has to do with what we look for when we look. When we look out into the world, most of us, we look for what is common and known, what we understand, what makes us comfortable. I look for something similar to me. I look for something that I get. This is at the root of most racism, because most racism is, it's hate, but it's rooted in ignorance. It's not rooted in knowledge. So that hatred comes from a place of, I want to stay comfortable with what I know and what's familiar to me. And if I stay there long enough and become passionate and defensive of it enough, I hate what's different. And so hate is birthed from ignorance and from a lack of understanding. And yet Jesus calls us into greater view, into seeing more and more. There's this old phrase that talks about rose-colored glasses, right? They see the world through rose-colored glasses, that everything just looks rosy, like everything just looks perfect. Well, we know that that isn't the way of things, right? But can we develop gospel-centered glasses? Can we develop an ability to see good news and hope and opportunity where at one time we saw division? This is the challenge that I have for you today. As a community of faith, can you work on the muscles of building bridges and connecting where there's lack of connection? Because this is a muscle that can be exercised and strengthened and built up. And it's not something that comes to us naturally. It is much more comfortable to stay with the people I know, the viewpoints I know, the opinions I have, everything that makes me feel warm and cuddly and doesn't challenge me to have to consider or look at or hear anything else. But the God of all creation, Jesus Christ our Savior, is inviting you and me into a world where all of those walls that we build up are falling down. And so we can either find ourselves frustrated and disappointed with the fact that our way isn't the way, or we can start this really hard work of, you know what, in Christ, there is no Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. All are one in Christ Jesus. Does not mean there aren't differences. It means those differences aren't the important part. For all are one in Christ Jesus. Can we work on the way that we look at the world around us and find ways to build relationship, grow in our understanding, celebrate grace and love and community? Because that's what Jesus is inviting us into. At least in my opinion, that's church. The church is this big, messy thing with a whole bunch of people who are mixed up and messed up with different viewpoints and different ideas and different ways of seeing the world, and a grace and love that holds the whole thing together. We can live into that reality, but it doesn't just happen. We have to hear these words again and again and again. This is who God is. This is what God is like. And yes, God loves you and forgives you and saves you, but not because you're God's favorite, but because of who God is and what God is like. And it's something you can offer. It's something you can extend. It's something you can invite to. This is who God is. And all that other stuff, yeah, it's still with us. And we come into this place, we still have different colored faces. We still have different cultures. We still have different backgrounds. We still have different political views. We still have different genders. We still have different understandings of the world. But none of those are allowed to be Lord of us, because there's already a Lord. And we're not going to dethrone Christ over something as petty as having our way. We're not going to remove Jesus from the throne just so that we can be right. But instead, we're going to walk into community and honor Jesus the best way that we can, by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Would you pray with me today? Gracious God, we have so much work to do in our walk with you. and yet you call us beloved. We have so many stumblings in our journey, and yet you pour out grace upon us. There are so many ways, God, that we miss the plot and we go off track. And yet you have called us and chosen us to be your people who carry and proclaim your grace and mercy, the forgiveness that you have shown to us. God, we confess before you our brokenness. We confess before you that just as much as we needed you before we knew you, we still need you today. We still need your love and your guidance. We still need the Spirit to lift us up and strengthen us and guide our steps. And so we come before you with thankful hearts, for you have not made your love conditional. You have not withheld your grace from us. But God, help us more and more to step in to the grace that you extend to us. Help us more and more to step into the new life that you have for us. Help us, oh God, to let go of all of the baggage and barriers that we put up. And help us more and more to take hold of you. And let that be enough. Oh God, help us to find enough in you. For you are. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.